Our first reading is from Jeremiah, 31st chapter, verses 7 through 9. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the pregnant woman and she who is in labor together. A great company they shall return here, with weeping they shall come. And with pleas of mercy, I will lend them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water, in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am the father of Israel, and Ephraim of my firstborn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from the seventh chapter of Hebrews, verses 23 through 28. The former priests were many in number, because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds with his priesthood permanently, because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should not have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily. First for his own sins, then for those of the people. Since he did this once for all when he offered up himself, for the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests. But the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, reading from the 10th chapter. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed Jesus on the way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, you have a hymn? You can sit down if you think better sitting. I don't know.
We're not going anywhere till we sing a hymn. So 480. So which hymnal? Oh, the regular one. Okay, 480 out of the hymnal.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. When I first was reading through our text for today, one thing caught my attention. This was not just a blind man, but Bartimaeus. And not just Bartimaeus, but Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus of Jericho. That's pretty specific for a healing story. Most of the stories about healings in the Gospels talk about blindness or being widows or being orphaned or deaf or demon-possessed. But usually not mentioned by name. And I wondered briefly what this blind man's name might have meant, that Jesus would have used it, that Mark would have written it. And then I kind of did a head slap and went, duh, his name is Bartimaeus. Bar in Hebrew is son of Timaeus. He even tells the rest of it there. So son of Timaeus. And Bartimaeus also calls Jesus by name, calls him the Son of David. And that designation revealed that Bartimaeus believed Jesus to be the promised Messiah. And there were folks that were rebuking him. Don't bother Jesus. He's got places to go, people to see. But that didn't stop Bartimaeus. He cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." When I was a child, I used to pretend that I was blind. I used to put a blindfold on, and then I would see if I could find my way around the house. I never did it in the upstairs. That was probably good, because I'd have probably done a headspan. But, you know, walk around, bump into things, turn, try to figure out where you are, bump into a wall, trip over something. And I thought I had a sense of what it means to be blind, but of course I didn't, because I could take my blindfold off. A blind man doesn't have that luxury. He spent his whole life living off the generosity of others. He had to sit by the city gate. And he had his cloak draped over his lap so that when people threw coins, there was a large place for the coins to land. And he could keep track of them. Now, that's an important detail because of what happened next. When hearing that Jesus had called him, he threw off his cloak. Can you see that picture? He threw his cloak up and the coins went in the air and went rolling down the street. And my guess is that there were all kinds of people picking up coins and sticking them in their own purses because they were not all that generous. And beside losing all of his money, he might have lost his cloak, what kept him warm, because someone might have picked it up also. Who would have known? He's a blind man. Jesus asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" It's not an obvious question. The man might have had a dying relative. He could have had some other disease. He might have been demon-possessed. But Jesus asked the question the way we would expect him to ask it. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man doesn't say, "Restore my sight," but, "Rabbi, let me receive my sight." He wasn't begging for mercy. "Jesus, just tell me what to do and I'll do it." And Jesus said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight. Can you imagine what a moment that must have been like for a man who was blind but could now see? But he doesn't go his own way. He followed Jesus on the way. Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem. Jesus' days were numbered. The man didn't go back to his family to let them know he could see. He followed Jesus. There's a lot we can learn from Bartimaeus. One is his example of faith. He cast aside all of his earthly belongings at the call of Jesus. Today's stewardship theme is first fruit giving. One of the things we do when we give of our first fruits is that we don't wait till the end of the month to see if there is anything left. Many people choose to give God their leftovers. God taught us to give of our first fruits, because they are the best, and also because we learn faith by trusting that God will continue to bless us. And we will be reminded where everything that supports our bodies and lives comes from. One of the benefits of getting to be an interim minister and serving all kinds of different congregations is in one congregation I had two farmers who lived out this first fruit giving literally every year. The first semi-load of corn each year was deposited in the church's name. That was a pretty big check. I know it was over 10,000. And it always seemed to come right at the right time. One of the men told me that one year there was kind of a miscommunication between the drivers of the semi, and two different semi drivers donated their load of corn to the church. And they could have gone back to the elevator and just changed the paperwork. But they thought, well, we just won't give any donation next year. And he said the next harvest came and they realized that they hadn't missed that second semi-load, that God had provided them with everything they needed. And so they did as they always did, the first fruits of their labor went to the church. Now, I tried to convince him that what God was really trying to teach him is that he could give two semi-loads of grain every year and wouldn't miss them. He didn't think that was the lesson. Well, most of us don't take stuff to market, so it's harder for us to imagine how first fruit giving can work. We may get a paycheck, we may get our checks deposited directly in our bank accounts, and we never see that literally. Maybe you have income that's tips or investment income. My choice is to always make my offering the very first day of the month. Now, I miss it now and then. You know, these months keep coming faster and faster, and I'll get about halfway into the month and go, oh, I forgot to do it. And I do it electronically, you know, because I'm not back at my home church. So, you know, I try on the first day of the month to make that electronic transfer, so that I remember that everything I have comes from God. And you may have a different routine entirely. There are people who choose to give weekly because that's the way that their income comes and that's the way they can best give their first fruits. Everyone has their own way of interpreting what first fruits means, but choose one. Because God gave his first fruit to us. He created an absolutely perfect world. And he told us, you can have anything in the world except that one tree. And of course, Adam and Eve, and you know, had we been there, we would have done the same thing. They had to try the one thing they were told not to have. And we, as their children, continued to bear that original sin that God, already in the garden, had a plan. He would give his first fruit, his only son. And he would send him as a baby, born of a virgin, born in a stable. And he would grow up. Can you imagine trying to discipline Jesus? He might have been easy. We'll probably say so. Mary didn't seem to have any problem. Jesus, go make wine. Mom, it's not time. I told you to go make wine, you know? And then God watched his first fruits, his only son, die on the cross. Forsaken by his friends, by some of his family, and even forsaken by God himself. So that the full penalty of our sin could be paid. And then God rose him on Easter morning. What a good thing to sing an Easter hymn this morning. Rose him from the dead so that we would know that we get to live forever with Jesus. That nothing in all of creation will ever separate us from the love of God. And then, just to make it a little bit more special, God called you by name. On the day of your baptism, God claimed you as his child. And he wrote your name in the book of life. I've always wondered if when my name gets written in the book of life, whether they'll write legal above it, you know, because most people don't think Rocky's my real name. So pray for the next 2 weeks on what God is calling you to do in 2022. Talk about it as a family. And then make whatever you give a joyous response to all that God has done for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.